9/13/22. This communist regime will execute us if we are passive and stand down. I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform, that the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty. Out due process, there are still political prisoners of war, Americans, being held on U.S. soil today.
Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere?
And the press is completely silent. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, September 13th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. September 13th, 2022. So 615 days have passed since January 6th of 2021, but there are still political prisoners, POWs, Americans, on U.S. soil, sitting behind bars, prisoners who still haven't even been brought to trial, and who still won't be released, even though they pose zero threat to anybody. And that's the point, of course. They're being trapped in limbo to torment and humiliate them and to send a message to everybody else. Don't F around with this regime, or we can make you vanish into the bowels of the system for as long as we want. And that's one reason why we talk to every January 6th prisoner and family member that we can. We can't allow these people to vanish and be forgotten. The tyrannical regime that we live under wins when it gets us to give up and passively accept what they do. And we will not do that. One of the prisoners in the DC gulag at this very moment is Colton Maccabee. We recently made contact with Colton's wife, Sarah, who's been fighting tirelessly on his behalf. And right now, she's fighting to demand an investigation and raise awareness about the latest assault on her husband from within the gulag. 1 week ago, around lunchtime, Sarah says that Colton was receiving his medication. Medication that he needs. When he was approached by a Lieutenant Lancaster for the offense of not wearing a mask. Now, obviously, wearing a face mask is a meaningless and useless show of submission to the regime. But in this particular reason, it's even worse, because Colton needed his mask off to actually take the medication that he was allowed to receive. Soon, without provocation, this Lieutenant Lancaster began to assault Colton by spraying a handheld chemical munition into his face. Then, Sarah tells us, prison officials moved Colton to an area with no CCTV monitoring. Of course. So there would be no permanent record of his condition. No evidence of what his jailers might have done to him. And it's not the first time that this lieutenant has mistreated January 6th detainees. And according to Sarah, she has been in the past restricted from even entering the areas where they're being held to prevent violence. Sarah has sent a letter to the DC jail system. All she has asked is that this incident and that this Lieutenant Lancaster be appropriately investigated. Is it going to happen? Don't bet on it. This is the country that only goes out of its way to investigate and punish law enforcement when they're doing the jobs that they should be doing. For example, if you're Derek Chauvin, and you try to pin down a violent man twice your size who's high on fentanyl and lashing out, the regime will send you to prison for 20 years. If you're Darren Wilson, the officer who shot the worthless cockroach, Michael Brown, the government will legally harass you for a half a decade because you defended yourself from a violent criminal thug trying to kill you. If you're the Louisville police officers in Kentucky, the government will invent some justification years after the fact to send you to prison simply for firing back when fired upon while serving a legally obtained warrant. But if you're an abusive, power-tripping, psychopath bull dyke, the system loves you. Because it can use psychopaths to torture political prisoners like the January 6th detainees. Colton's wife, Sarah Maccabee, joins us now. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me on, Stu.
So your husband, Colton Maccabee, was a sheriff's deputy, After January 6th, he became a correctional officer. The FBI showed up at his work to arrest him. You were out of town for work. They later called you and told you, we just arrested your husband. And then they proceeded to raid your home. For what?
Yeah, for being a good person on January 6th. It was the craziest thing. I've never seen anything like it, them come against one of their own. You know, when you watch the footage, sure, it looks damning. But one thing that the government has never done is played the audio. And when you listen to the audio, you hear him saying, hey, stop hitting that girl. Lila Morris, the police officer, was beating Roseanne Boyland. And he was trying to help Officer A.W., who was laying on the ground. And they say that he assaulted them because he threw his hands up after he had been hit with a baton.
I'm going to get into this a little bit about the actual events. But before that, these feds tore apart your house. You have video of them, an hour and a half worth of tape that they don't know about. What did they do in your home?
They tore it apart. I mean, they came in guns blazing. They knew nobody was home because they had called me to tell me that my husband was apprehended and to get into my home. And I said, nobody is home except for our two dogs. And they came in guns a-blazing, checking every room, literally into the refrigerator, into our pantry, looking in our cabinets. And they were there for over 5 hours, just tearing it apart, looking for anything and everything. And they actually even took our flag.
They took your flag. So they knew that they had your husband, Colton McAbee, a former law enforcement officer, in custody. They knew that you were out of town, but yet they went in there like there was some sort of a threat. Now, about a year ago on September, I guess I don't know the exact date. I'm looking at a HuffPost article that was written on September 22nd. But in this article, it says, quote, a federal magistrate judge in Tennessee ordered McAbee released with conditions, including to refrain from using any social media or other websites related to, quote, insurrection activity. But federal prosecutors filed an emergency appeal of the judge's ruling. And the matter was reviewed about a year ago during a hearing before U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan, who said, no, he's to remain in custody. So who is it that Judge Emmett Sullivan thinks Colton McAbee poses a threat to?
He says the community, that he's a danger to the community. It was never a question if he was a flight risk. But because of he's never, my husband was a law enforcement officer for 7 years. He never had a strike on his record. And they should not have taken the events of January 6th. You know, there was nothing prior to January 6th and nothing after it. And that's what the judge said in Middle Tennessee. He said, you let him run the streets for 3 months without apprehending him after you knew about him. And now all of a sudden he's a danger to the community. It makes no sense.
So in the 7 years that he served his community as a law enforcement officer, he was never investigated for abuse of power, excessive use of force, the subject of an internal affairs investigation, no conduct on becoming a law enforcement officer. He had a stellar record as a cop.
Yeah, and he actually received awards. He has right behind me, I have his life-saving award where he saved an inmate's life.
So here's a quote from a prosecutor that is fighting to keep your husband as a prisoner of war. Quote, frankly, this defendant who has taken oaths before, he swore oaths in multiple sheriff's offices that he would uphold the law. That was a quote from attorney Bennett Kearney, one of the federal prosecutors on the case, according to the HuffPost. Quote, he's continuing, this is someone who uses his badge and authority when it works for him and disregards it when it does not. Now, it appears to me and to this show that Colton McAbee on January 6th was one of the only law enforcement officers present who was actually interested in upholding the law.
Yeah, absolutely. I know who my husband is. And when he first stepped into, when he gets around the barriers, he looks at the line of law enforcement officers and says, hey, you have a man down. And he was trying to help that man who was an officer who was lying on his back on the ground. And because he tried to pick him up, they say that he assaulted him. And when other people pulled him into the crowd, my husband's over top of him saying, hey, I'm one of you. I'm helping you. And that officer says, I know, help me up. And they stand up together. And then in the next scene, my husband's going over to help Roseanne Boylan because she's dying.
He was upholding the law. He was doing what cops are not only trained to do, but the whole reason why a cop decides to be a cop. This isn't something that you just decide you're going to do. This is in your blood. This is in your character. This is a calling.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's an officer that's on video camera that is thanking him for his help that day.
Does Attorney Bennett Kearney seem to be interested in any of that?
No.
Does Judge Emmett Sullivan seem to be interested in any of that? No. Rather than that, the judge actually berated him. By the way, this is the judge that was also presiding over General Flynn's case and also another case of interest. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, he presided over Ted Stevens' case back in 2008, and you can look at it and see. And Sullivan came in and said, you're not allowed to withhold exculpatory evidence like the prosecutors had done in that case. And yet this is the exact same thing happening in his courtroom, that they are withholding the audio. They will not play it in court. And I've had the audio extracted. I haven't released it yet, but you can hear what he is saying to these officers. He is begging them to stop hitting Roseanne Boylan and that he is there and he is trying to help them.
So here you have a cop trying to uphold the law, not only just the law on that day of the events, but the laws that regulate the way that we elect people. At an event where overwhelmingly the population understands that this was not an open and free and fair election representative of votes cast by we the people on November 3rd of 2020, when the real insurrection, by the way, occurred. They're calling this an insurrection. I mean, does that make your blood boil?
Yeah, for sure. I know that there were bad things that happened that day, but if they were to look at the 6th as a whole and why people were acting the way that they were reacting to stuff. They saw police officers killing other people, shooting at other people, throwing grenades into the crowd. Like, no, even use of force experts say none of this makes sense. And these people were just reacting to seeing fellow supporters being killed in front of them.
The beginning of the show here, I mentioned George Floyd. Here is a career criminal, home invading thug who held a loaded firearm to the abdomen of a pregnant woman and told her that he was going to blow the baby out of her back. Here's a guy who voluntarily ingested fentanyl, who was high as a kite, who violently resisted law enforcement, who outweighed that Derek Chauvin by a lot, who needed to be subdued. The officer used a Minneapolis Police Department training approved method of restraint, justifiable use of force situation to subdue this violent career criminal who had just committed another crime and was being investigated for a crime in progress. And as a result of that arrest and the overdose death of that career criminal thug who died the way you would expect a career criminal thug to die on the streets of an overdose at the hands of law enforcement, because of that, over $12 billion in damage was inflicted on this country nationwide in a period of 3 months. We had an election stolen away from us. We have cops out here that are violently, without provocation, assaulting, launching, like starting a war against unarmed people who were there gathered peacefully, who, as you brilliantly articulated, were only being reactive to that assault. So where is the color of law? Where is the rule of law? Where is the Constitution? These cops, every one of them, should be in prison.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't make sense that they aren't investigating the true events of January 6th. Why January 6th even took place? Because of the election. They don't investigate that. And these poor people, there's been over 900 people across the country that have been affected by this with FBI raids, their loved ones sitting in jails. I have not seen my husband in over a year because they will not allow visitation in there. And they are trying to break these men, but they don't know. They just pick the these people believe in their country and they're going to do whatever it takes.
So Lieutenant Lancaster, I want to get to this. Here's a guy who's been previously kept away from the population of prisoners of war, Americans being held on our own soil as POWs, because violence seems to break out whenever Lieutenant Lancaster is around. Now, again, abusing his power, your husband, Colton Maccabee, needed to take some medication. Of course, to take the medication, he had to pull down or remove the bacteria-ridden, filthy Sharia face muzzle that they forced them to wear as a sign of submission. And as a result of this, Colton Maccabee was savagely attacked by this Lieutenant Lancaster.
Yeah, he was 25 feet away from the medication cart when he walked out of his cell. He was in his cell all morning, so he wasn't even interacting with anybody else. Walked over to get his medication, and her name, it's a woman, it's Crystal Lancaster, walked over to him and said, "You need to put a mask on." And she sprayed him in the face with OC spray, which is deemed as the Department of Justice that could be lethal if it's not used properly. And then as she was doing that, they handcuffed him and sprayed him again a second time while he was handcuffed.
So, when an officer uses force, and for those people who have not worked in law enforcement before, when an officer uses force, there is a thing called the use of force continuum. It usually starts with verbal commands, then escalates into hands, and then goes to the duty belt. And there's an escalation of force throughout their OC sprays, neuromuscular incapacitation devices like a taser. You have batons, and then, of course, you have your lethal force, firearms, things like that. So you use these methods of restraint and force to stop a behavior from happening. So had they deemed Colton Maccabee to be some sort of a threat, they could use OC spray to subdue him. What threat was Colton Maccabee, your husband, presenting at the time that he was already in handcuffs that justifies using this chemical spray that, as the DOJ deems, could be lethal?
Nothing. He wasn't doing any. He was an officer. He knows how this works. And he told them, "Stop spraying me. Stop assaulting me." He literally did nothing wrong. Regardless of who he is as a person and his charges on January 6th, this should never be allowed in any capacity that an officer has this power, type of power over somebody who is not a threat at all. His hands are behind his back. He's in handcuffs. What is he going to do to somebody?
There needs to be an immediate investigation into this, Lieutenant Lancaster. And I'm not talking about a Trey Gowdy 14-month nothing congressional investigation with some stupid unselect committee. I'm talking about an actual law enforcement investigation, internal affairs investigation. Lieutenant Lancaster, she should be removed from duty immediately and deemed a threat. She should be incarcerated and jailed pending a trial for this use of force. I mean, I don't even need to get into the hypocrisy. I'm not one of these guys that says, well, what if the left did this? Because it's not about right or left. This is about right and wrong. And this is completely wrong. It's a savage abuse of power by a communist regime that was illegitimately installed to remove the individual liberty and freedom from God-fearing Christian patriot Americans who were there peacefully protesting what they deemed to be an unfair election process that occurred on November 3rd of 2020. And I hope that that happens. We'll be praying for you as well, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you for having me on.
Of course. So yesterday we talked about just some of the things that you can treat with CBD from curable.com. That's Curibl.com. This is the family-owned business where all of the hemp is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota, all natural. You're not going to find any lipid nanoparticles, no spike proteins, no self-assembling circuitry in the CBD that you can use to treat just some of the things that we found when we were doing our research, like Parkinson's, ADHD. You got a kid that struggles in school? How about stress and anxiety? How about physical pain after surgery? Maybe you have old athletic injuries or arthritic pain, joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, migraine headaches, even allergies can be treated with CBD. You want a CBD company that you can trust, and I'm telling you that this family-owned business from right here in my home state of Minnesota is a business that you can trust. Go to Curibl.com, Curibl.com. Use promo code STEW site-wide. You'll get 20% off. Huge savings. Promo code STEW when you go to Curibl.com. Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com. Welcome back. So it's been this program's position that this pandemic was created. It was a plandemic. Millions of people agree with that. Well, now we have actual proof. Documents from Australia show that they are planning future pandemics, not the response to them, but the pandemics themselves. And Maria Z is here with us on that. And you've also uncovered this Australian Global Center for Pandemics.
Correct, Stu. We've just had the announcement of the coming Global Center for Pandemic Therapeutics. And why is this linked with what we're talking about today? Well, because the CSIRO, who, by the way, was previously questioned on their involvement in gain-of-function research with the Wuhan Institute of Virology for COVID-19, has just published a report called The Strengthening Australia's Pandemic Response Report. I've been through this entire thing and we cover it in detail on Uncensored tomorrow. But essentially, this report identifies the next five pandemics that the world will face. Guess who's involved in announcing these five pandemics, Stu? Oh, the World Health Organization and Bill Gates, who it says are who it actually lists in this document as the sources for this information. It talks about extreme surveillance of citizens preemptively, regularly collecting data from citizens, both health and non-health data, and tells us that essentially they're going to be engineering reporter viruses, biologically engineering reporter viruses. Now I want to state here, reporter viruses are supposed to be those viruses that don't spread. They look at them in BSL three or four labs, and it's for the purpose of identifying future pandemics. But they're talking about biologically engineering these viruses. Oh, sounds a lot like gain of function. So essentially, this document from the CSIRO, which, by the way, Stu, also previously involved in weather modification, is calling to legalize the engineering of viruses for this global pandemic center. Now, a very interesting thing in this document is that they keep making reference to climate change, and they talk about how the next five pandemics that the world will face will be subject to climate changes. They also blame the viruses on climate change, on human encroachment into natural habitats. So of course they're going to be doing that, because they want you in pods in your little smart city. They don't want you going to the mountains, to nature, to hunt your own food. None of that is allowed under their new pandemic preparedness plan, because humans are the problem here.
So these are chimerically engineered, man-made, bioweapons lab-created viruses that they are admitting that they are going to start releasing on the world.
This is essentially what this document spells. And again, biologically engineered reporter viruses, this opens the door. Again, this agency was previously involved in gain of function in Wuhan. There is currently a moratorium on gain of function. This document is essentially calling to put this in legislation, that we're allowed to do this anytime that we see fit.
So they have found the success formula for locking people down, for killing people, keeping them away from their family members, secluding them, rolling out the, quote, response measures that enriches and empowers big pharma, global billionaires, the ruling class elite, the round table of members of this global cabal that include people from the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, all of these people, and that is to keep people in fear, to lie to them and then use a complicit media to perpetuate this fear and roll out mass injections that will then be mandated, QR coded, attached to your smart devices so that you can't turn them on. For example, your smart refrigerator. You will have to scan your QR code in order to go to your refrigerator and eat, and hand slap if you've eaten too much real beef, because that's bad for the climate. They're going to massively weaponize climate change, the fake farce that it is, in order to combine that with pandemics to control the masses throughout the future. Those that do not comply will be executed. And if you think that there aren't quarantine camps already, they are. They're in your country of Australia. They're being constructed here in this country. And if you think they're not going to be used, you're not informed. I mean, am I overstating any of this?
No, Stu, your analysis is actually perfect. And this document talks about cracking, combining non-health data with health data in order to preempt the next pandemic based on human behavior, based on human interaction with the environment, based on, for example, how much meat you've eaten this week. If the population exceeds their meat intake, are we facing another pandemic? It also talks about preemptively injecting people prior to a pandemic for the threat of a pandemic. And none of us even know what that even means. This is opening the door to complete ongoing control, complete and ongoing medical tyranny, exactly what the World Health Organization wants to do. And I want to make one more mention, Stu, in this Global Center for Pandemic Therapeutics announcement by the Doherty Institute, which, by the way, was previously collecting blood samples from Ukraine. They say that the center will take advantage of new technologies that can directly target the genetic code of pathogens using gene editing and gene silencing. Where else have we heard of that, Stu? Where else are we hearing about gene editing? Klaus Schwab was introducing that idea previously. People would not have submitted themselves to this medical experiment had they known, but now they're openly introducing this, and I think Biden's done the same.
Biden has done the same. He's signed an executive order, which we're going to talk about more tomorrow, for bringing all of this to our attention, Maria Z. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. I wanted to tell you all, we're going to be addressing this tomorrow in great detail with Karen Kingston, something very alarming. Joe Biden, apparently, I'm sure that he does not know what he has signed, but has signed an executive order to further transhumanism. So if you go to my Telegram, I shared something early this morning from Karen Kingston that shows and outlines exactly what this is going to do. We have been called all kinds of names in the books. We've been called grandstanding propagandists and liars and fearmongers for discussing this transhumanism. No, there is an actual executive order. You can see it in my Telegram. This was signed by the alleged president of the United States that occupies allegedly the Oval Office, allegedly in the White House. We don't believe any of that to be true. He's an illegitimate pedophile in the White House. Nonetheless, this executive order, if it stands after we prove that 2020 was a big sham, this furthers transhumanism. And that agenda is incredibly scary. Karen Kingston will be here tomorrow as the Stu Peters Show continues to talk more about that. We will be back in just 60 seconds with more. Stick around. Of Americans suffer a magnesium deficiency. This leads to increased stress and anxiety, depression, low mood, sleepless nights, early grave. Super important vital mineral for your body's overall function. Go research it yourself. MagBreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Go there right now. Magnesium Breakthrough, the 7 most critical types of magnesium, the exact appropriate amounts of magnesium so that you don't have these sleepless nights. Get the rest that you need. Your body, when you're working out in the gym, your body, when you're dealing with stress and anxiety, needs this magnesium in it. Don't be one of the 75% of the people who are suffering from this detrimental lack of magnesium. This deficiency is a killer. MagBreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. So we've told you about PatriotsBreakfastClub.com. This is the best cup of coffee America has to offer. It's high-end specialty coffee, always freshly ground. They don't just stick it on a shelf waiting for orders to come in. No, they roast it upon order. Who else can say that? Plus, you could support a great cause because a percentage of proceeds goes to helping wounded vets. Get a coffee subscription like I do and keep a steady monthly supply of some of the best coffee at a lower price than buying in a single bag. In my coffee subscription, I get some of these. How about the Red, White, and Brew? Great blend. Your friends will love it. Plus, it's a conversation piece. What about the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, the WTF blend? Just came for this month's subscription, and I absolutely love it. But nothing tops my favorite, and that is the Fresh Java Brew. Yes, the FJB. Go there right now, PatriotsBreakfastClub.com. Use promo code STU10 for 10% off site-wide when you go to PatriotsBreakfastClub.com. And of course, Stu Crew, we don't want you to be lethargic, slow dummies struggling to process information, requiring cups of coffee and caffeine and energy drinks, hitting the snooze button a bunch of times before you're ready to process information. No, that's why we recommend Nootropics Brain Supplements from Nootopia. These are 100% legal, totally safe, non-addictive Nootropics Brain Supplements that you can find at Nootopia.com/Stu Peters. Go there, do the research yourself, Nootopia.com/Stu Peters. Welcome back. So just about 3 months ago on this program, we introduced all of you to Dr. Rainer Fulmetsch, the German trial lawyer and consumer product safety specialist. Well, Dr. Fulmetsch has made it his personal mission in life to expose the danger that these COVID shots pose to the entire public. He's been tracking the surge in young people just dropping dead out of the blue ever since these shots rolled out. You've seen the stories. Soccer players just suffering heart attacks in the middle of a game. Rugby players keeling over at practice. People in absolute peak physical condition in their teens or early 20s just abruptly dying. Yes, it has happened in the past. But it's obvious that it's happening much, much more now, and everybody in power is lying to cover it up, using a complicit press to help them. Well, Dr. Fulmich thinks he can force them to change all of that. In the past, he's successfully sued both Volkswagen and Deutsche Bank for their safety violations, and he's hoping now to do the same for Moderna and Pfizer and all of the other entities involved in forcing these jabs onto the public, manufacturing these shots, lying about these shots. We're talking about a global class action lawsuit, or if you want to get more colorful, we're talking about Nuremberg Tribunal 2.0. We also wanted to touch base with Dr. Fulmich about the numbers that we talked about yesterday coming out of the UK showing that one in every 482 people who got this jab died within a month. And to that end, Dr. Rainer Fulmich joins us now. Rainer, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
So it's no secret to us, however be it, it's being kept by the press from the masses, that young people, soldiers, athletes, people at a young age, at their peak physical condition, are dropping dead in droves.
Well, if we look at the numbers, I don't know if you talked about them yesterday. There is this article of the Gateway Pundit, which gives you a better feeling or a worse feeling when it comes to these, to the difference between what happened in the 38 years between, I'm sorry, 38 years, I believe, between 1966 and 2004. There were 1,101 reported cases of sudden cardiac death in athletes under 35 years old. Now, if you look at the numbers from January 2021 to April 2022, which is, I think, 15 months, at least 673 athletes reportedly died under sudden unexpected circumstances. The numbers are probably higher because since the onset of 2021, Good Sciencing issued a report documenting 1,323 sudden athlete deaths since January of 2021. 1,323 over the course of, I don't know, a year and a little more than a year, as opposed to 1,101 sudden cardiac deaths in the years 1966 through 2004. Now, this is something that escapes no one's attention. I don't really believe that, despite the fact that the mainstream media, both in the United States and in Europe, are covering this up, that people do not know this. Most people know someone, either a relative or a friend or a neighbor, who had serious problems after getting the shots. This is after the start of the vaccinations, before the so-called vaccinations, rather. Before the start of the vaccinations, I know hardly anyone who knows someone who died of COVID. So this must have something to do with the vaccinations. And on top of this, if you look, I think we talked about this maybe yesterday, if you look at the mortality rates among the unvaccinated, there is no other conclusion than the fact that the lowest mortality rates are among the unvaccinated means that this has to do that the shots are killing people. So what is the legal conclusion that we can draw from this? Someone is responsible, obviously. It's the makers of the vaccines. It's the people who are pushing the so-called vaccines. It's the doctors. And they all will have to be held accountable for this. Because I think this is the right time now that this is not, it can't be covered up anymore. This is the right time to start over again. I don't know if I told you this, but with a group of attorneys, I did have an attempt at an open class action, which means an international class action in Canada. Our good friend and lawyer Michael Swinwood did that. He lost at the trial level without even getting a hearing. They called it a querulous lawsuit. He tried again, wrote an excellent appellate brief, got a hearing on appeal, but again, his case was thrown out. We did try another one of these cases in South Africa. We tried to file a complaint with the highest South African court, the Constitutional Court. However, The new judge, the new president of that court, decided that he's not going to hear that case. So our group of attorneys will have to start all the way from the trial court level again. But now, I believe, because of all these adverse events, if you want to call it that, I guess you could call it killings, because of all these adverse events, I think this is the right time to go forward with such a complaint for damages and attempt to persuade a court to let it go forward as a class action, preferably, of course, as an open class action.
What about the press? If we know about these things, and if we know, I don't call them adverse events, I call them intended consequences. The press knows about that. You would agree that Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and ABC and all the major broadcast and cable news networks have access to the same information that we do. They're certainly aware that this is going on. They're just choosing willfully to ignore it and to participate in a cover-up. Could they also, too, be held liable?
Well, this is what my good friend, one of the best lawyers I know, Professor Martin Schwab, says. He wrote a 183-page expert opinion on what the mainstream media in Germany, but it's no different from the United States, what they have been doing ever since the start of this so-called, of this plandemic, really. Let's face it, it's a plandemic, quite obviously. There's no doubt about it. And he comes to the conclusion that, of course, these people will also be have to held accountable for what they did.
When you're covering something up as massive as a genocidal level event, you have to be. So you're talking about a class action lawsuit that would target big pharma killers like Pfizer and Moderna. What about holding these people criminally accountable? Because, I mean, obviously they have billions, potentially trillions of dollars that they've raked in for a cash for killing, money for murder scheme intentionally done here to the global population. But there's a precedent for holding these people accountable in a criminal court. To that you say what?
Yes, there is both criminal liability and, of course, civil liability. The difference is one of the burden of proof. In criminal law, if you want to hold someone, if you want to lock someone up, this is what it amounts to. If you want to get someone, put someone in prison, the burden of proof is on the attorneys, on the DA. On the prosecutor, and the level is beyond a reasonable doubt, which is like 99%. You have to persuade a jury that these people who you're going after in a criminal suit are liable to the well, that's the level. It's beyond a reasonable doubt, translate roughly into 99%. It's different in civil law. If you're in tort law going after someone for damages, it's a little more than 50%, roughly. It's much easier to get there. It's much easier to persuade a jury to hold someone civilly liable. And in many cases, it's much more effective, because if you're going after a large corporation like Pfizer or BlackRock or someone of that stature, then you're going to be able to collect quite a bit of money if you persuade a jury that these people are liable. You may even go into, if you can show that there's intent, you may even walk directly into punitive damages, which will probably take down many of, if not all of these corporations who are, in our view, responsible.
So what about you personally, Reiner? Are you convinced beyond a reasonable doubt, meaning 99.8% or more, that somebody is intentionally killing people, had the knowledge that they were doing it, and that they are indeed criminally responsible?
Yes. After everything we've heard, after all the 400 and something interviews we did with experts from all over the world, I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. If you look at the whole picture, not just at the individual pieces of the puzzle, the individual interviews, but at the whole picture, how it all started with eugenics, how they went through these exercises, ending with Event 201 and starting with Operation Dark Winter in the year 2000, shortly before 9/11. If you look at the goals that they're quite openly stating of population reduction and population control. And this is really important. If you look at how they started the pandemic, when they realized in August of 2019 that they needed to take drastic measures in order to divert our attention from the fact that the, I guess you could call them the Anglo-American financial mafia, including Deutsche Bank, my former employer and foe, that these people had been stealing our assets and money for decades. That's what they needed to divert our attention from. They needed cases. They didn't have any because they wanted to start the pandemic. And that's, I think we spoke about this. That's how they created the cases with the help of this PCR test, which was misused by this German fake professor, Dr. Drosten, and the WHO, which recommended his, it's not his PCR test, but his variation of a PCR test as the gold standard for the detection of infections. If you look at all that, it is very obvious. There is no doubt, not one scintilla of a doubt, that they created these cases by misusing the PCR test in order to be able to announce the public health emergency of international concern, which they needed in order to be able to use untested new drugs, these so-called vaccines, on people. And that's what's been happening ever since. This is one big experiment. And of course, this is in gross and in... this is an incredible violation of the Nuremberg Code.
So if you are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, and your colleagues are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you feel like you would have any problems proving that to a court?
Well, if the judiciary were still functioning the way it used to, or the way that we saw them function maybe 20 years ago, there wouldn't be a problem. However, we know that in Europe, and Germany in particular, the judiciary is not functioning anymore. But on the other hand, we don't even have class actions. We don't have a real law of evidence. Many judges think that it's up to their discretion if they're going to look at the evidence, hear witnesses, et cetera. And we don't have punitive damages. You have that. In the United States, there is a class action lawsuit. There is a real law of evidence, which is pretrial discovery. If you withhold evidence or even destroy evidence, you may lose on this ground alone. Plus, you have punitive damages. That's why I think if we manage to find the right venue with judges who are still willing to uphold the law, and I know there are many in the United States, there are some in Germany too, except they've been silenced. No one will dare uphold the law in Germany when it comes to corona cases, because they're all going to either lose their jobs or they're going to be searched and seized. This is what happened to this judge in Weimar. But in the US, it's different. If you just look at this very, very, very important decision by this Florida federal court against the mask mandates, this is probably the most important decision, not ever, but it's one of the most important decisions, because it showed immediately, by the response of the people, it showed immediately how the people feel. They don't want to go along with this anymore. Maybe 10%, maybe 20%, but not much more. So that is going to make it extremely difficult for a court of law, if you show them the evidence which we have gathered in the meantime, to simply throw the case out like they did in Canada. I think this is the right time. I've always been saying that it's probably going to be a body count. I know this sounds dramatic, but that's the way it is. And right now, people cannot look away anymore.
What about the families of these people? And let's talk military numbers too, because you have the DMED data, but we have soldiers and at the peak of their physical condition. We have this report coming out of the UK that 1 in 482 people died within a short period of time after getting this lethal injection, this serum, this inoculation. We have athletes dying all over the place. Where are the family members of these people, and why aren't they screaming from the tallest rooftops?
Well, in many cases, they don't even understand that there is, for example, a VAERS reporting system. So in many cases, many of the doctors, I know this is true in Germany, for example, convince the family that, oh, this is nothing to report. to the reporting system. We have a reporting system as well, except nobody knows it, or most doctors don't know about it. But if these people are silenced by doctors and other and the authorities telling them that this is, even though it's very disastrous and it's very sad, but it's nothing special, then they won't do anything. But in the meantime, it's more and more younger people, as you mentioned, and this is particularly obvious when you look at the DMET data. You probably know the numbers. I got them from Tom Renz. This is from the Ron Johnson Senate hearing with three whistleblowers. If you look at the total number of pulmonary embolism reports by year, this jumped from 2020 to 2021, and this is only partial 2021, by 260.4%. Or if you look at the total number of, acute myocardial infarct reports by year, from 2020 to 2021, probably, I don't know, 6-7 months into 2021, the number jumped by 343.5%. What we're talking about is young people between the ages of 18 to 35 or so, very fit young soldiers who this shouldn't happen to them. But this is what is going to blow them out of the water, because these are numbers that cannot be explained by anything other than it's the vaccines that are doing, the so-called vaccines that are doing the damage. So I think this is what's getting everyone's attention, including the courts of law.
Okay, so what's next now to make this thing fly and to make it go?
Well, I do have to stay here in Germany for a couple more weeks, probably. I wish I could have left a lot earlier, but I can't. There's a few things I have to take care of. But I am, in the meantime, speaking with my colleagues in the U.S. who are much more experienced. They have much more courtroom experience than I do. My courtroom experience, most of it, is in German courts. So this is a group of lawyers who are now ready and willing to go forward with a really big case, probably not just one class action or attempt at a class action, but many. Because if you look at the different groups of people, of the different classes, you may want to distinguish between those who suffer physical damage because of the so-called vaccines and others who suffer economic damages because their businesses were destroyed or they lost their livelihoods. So there may be many different class actions, hopefully very many, but the first step is always the most important one. Once you get started and once you get a court of law to look at the evidence, then it's going to be much easier for others to follow in those footsteps. Actually, it's going to make headlines pretty much all over the world, including in Germany. It's always been like this, because when Germany didn't want to go after Deutsche Bank for its fraudulent loans or VW for its diesel scandal, they kept waiting and waiting and waiting, the judiciary did. And then finally, the American judiciary showed them the way. They couldn't ignore the evidence that was collected by American courts of law. So once again, I think it's going to happen in the U.S.
Do you see, I've only got a couple minutes here, but I got a chain of questions. Do you see it often where a civil suit turns into the criminal? Does it make it easier once you have a judgment in civil court to go into a criminal proceeding?
Well, remember the O.J. Simpson trial. It started with a criminal case. And O.J. Won that. He got off the hook, so to speak. And then it was followed up with a civil case. And I
if
read
you look
this
the other way around, you can look at Derek Chauvin or any of these other cops. They are sued civilly, and the civil court finds them guilty and liable, and then they go to a criminal court and say, well, look, he was found guilty. He was liable for these civil damages. And the press announces it almost cheering on a criminal case, which is exactly what I think this program needs to do and ones like it, cheer on a criminal case. If these people are found guilty in a criminal court of law for what they have done with these shots, what penalty should they pay?
oh, if they're going to be found criminally liable, they should be sent to jail, obviously. I have always been opposed to the death penalty, and I still am, because I changed my mind, but then I realized how many mistakes were being made. So I still believe that it's probably better to send these people to jail. But I also believe that it makes more of an impression to go after them civilly in tort law, make them pay, because that's what's going to be that's what's going to enable us to take down entire corporations. You can't send an entire corporation to jail. You can take some of the CEOs, some of the people who you think are really responsible, send them to jail. But if you want to take down an entire corporation for what they did, is you go after them with a civil tort case and ask for punitive damages.
On the day that George Floyd died here, just down the street from our studios on the streets of Minneapolis, and the rioting crowd of criminal thugs started to show up at the Third Precinct that ultimately was lit ablaze while it was occupied, and the cops were told to go away by a worthless mayor here, to leave and abandon their house, to not stand their ground. On that day, had a couple of cops fired bullets into the heads of some of these wild dogs that were lighting things on fire and raping and pillaging and murdering and looting and stealing. Do you think that that activity would have quickly stopped?
I really can't tell, because, you know, it's in hindsight, things are always easier to analyze than when you're right in the middle of a riot.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't need to be an analyst. If I was there and I was a criminal and my fellow gangbanging criminals got a bullet in their head, I would probably hightail it and be out of there, which is exactly why we can agree to disagree on the death penalty. I think that these people should be put to death if they're found guilty in a criminal court. This genocidal level mass murder event has taken lives away unnecessarily and intentionally from people, young people, people's children and family members. And I think that if we're going to stop this behavior from ever happening again, that the precedent is already there. You put these dogs down. You don't allow them to get out and go re-murder again for a profit, which is exactly what they'll do after they restructure in some sort of a bankruptcy and build some new company under some fictitious or alternate name. They'll just come back because they have found the recipe for success. Pandemics endlessly, fear-mongering with the press and the media, forcing people into their injections, enriching and empowering those in the DC Beltway, along with these big pharma companies that then become the new world government. The only way to prevent it from happening is to put a bullet in their head.
I understand how you feel, and it makes sense. But what I believe is, if we rise up as the people, if we go and the courts get into action, then this, I keep talking about this spirituality element, then this higher power, call it God, call it spirituality, whatever.
I'll call it
is
God.
Is going to come to our aid. Yes, I agree with that. Come to our aid. And this is what my friend, Professor Martin Schwab says. This is the boss's realm. He or whatever will take care of these people. We don't have to put them to death. I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go after them, make them pay for it. But I'm not sure about the death penalty. I really don't think it's the right thing to do. But the boss is going to take care of them.
I agree. I agree with that 1,000%. He will take care of them. Maybe somebody just needs to arrange the meeting. Dr. Reiner Fomich, thank you so much. We're going to keep close tabs on this. We hope that you'll come back as soon as this historical lawsuit is fired and filed. And I know that a bunch of people are going to want to get on this, millions of people, because millions of people have been maimed and incapacitated and killed by these shots. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Of course. All right. Now, don't let yourself be a victim to this financial reset that's imminently coming. If you have your money in a checking account or in a savings account or an IRA, for that matter, investment account, 401k, all of these things are at great, dire, imminent risk of being gone, stripped from you, zilch, zero remaining, everybody reset to zero. Don't be a victim. Protect yourself with gold and silver. Call my good friends over at Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Why Gold Co.? They're helping countless Americans to protect their retirement savings from this hyperinflation, these tax increases, this government theft that you didn't vote on to send hundreds of billions of dollars abroad to help crap hole countries like Ukraine, to cover for the pedophilia cabal and bioweapons laboratories, the most corrupt country on the face of the planet. Don't do that. Plus, get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account when you call Goldco today. 855-706-GOLD. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you call 855-706-GOLD.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID, but I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning.
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
Absolutely do not miss tomorrow's show. Karen Kingston is going to be here to cover this transhumanism executive order signed by fake illegitimate pedophile President Biden. Until then, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it. It's for the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio!